Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Nearly 2.5 million Illinoisans have already voted in the 2020 general election by mail or at an early voting location. That's closing in on 45% of the total number of people who voted in the last presidential election 4 years ago. Later in the program, we'll have an update on voting in Illinois and take your questions and calls on early and mail-in voting. But first, COVID-19 is resurgent across the state. Yesterday, 4,000 new cases were reported, which is double the daily amount of a month prior and well more than the previous peak of confirmed infections back in the spring. Hospitalizations are increasing and deaths are beginning to rise as well. In response, the state is ratcheting up restrictions region by region, limiting the types of services that can be offered, especially in bars and restaurants. Joining us on the line now to talk about this and more is Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker. Governor Pritzker, welcome to the 21st.
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. So later I want to ask you about the graduated income tax proposal, but I want to start our conversation on COVID-19. There have been reports of restaurants near Rockford, in DeKalb, and elsewhere defying these increasing restrictions on indoor dining, which are going into place all over the state, or at least in many parts of the state, I should say. CBS Chicago had a story about DuPage County Sheriff's deputies dining inside a restaurant. I'm wondering, what concrete actions has your administration taken to ensure that businesses are complying with these orders?
Well, let's start with the facts, which are that we have a COVID storm that is hitting the state of Illinois, the entire Midwest, and frankly, the entire nation. We're seeing levels of cases, infections, hospitalizations rising to levels that we haven't seen since the spring. This is a very dangerous moment. We need to make sure we'll bring those levels of infection down and that we address this as soon as possible. We have put in place a set of resurgence mitigations. They've been in place since July that call upon regions that surpass metrics that we set, to have them put these resurgence mitigations in place in their region and for local officials, local law enforcement, local public health departments to enforce those. And of course, we also use any resources that we have at the state level to do so. And it has, for the most part, been very successful. As you know, we Region 4, Region 7, both had those mitigations imposed on them earlier when they had surpassed 8% positivity rates. And they brought their positivity rates down as a result of the resurgence mitigations, which includes temporary closures of indoor dining and bar service. It still allows restaurants and bars to serve outdoors or in a tent or in a tented igloo, as they call it, and of course, delivery and pickup and drive-through. So we're hoping that we can get through this COVID storm without too much damage to the restaurants and bars that are have been hurting as a result of the COVID storm. We provide business interruption grants for those businesses at the state level, and we have $220 million available even now for those businesses to help them get through this difficult time. But
your administration, though, has talked about potentially pulling liquor licenses, pulling video gambling licenses of establishments that don't comply. There have been lawsuits from a number of establishments seeking to get out of these mitigations, including one that was, at least at the trial court level, successful just yesterday. Are you actively pulling licenses yet?
We've won nearly every case in the state, and it's gone to federal court. So just to put that aside, look, these are blunt tools. These are not things that we like imposing. What we're doing is following the science. That's the most important thing. To keep people healthy, we're listening to the experts. They're the ones who are saying and showing us the dozen studies, many, many circumstances. The CDC indeed has called for the closure of indoor service at bars and restaurants when you see rising caseloads. We're doing the best that we can. This is a blunt tool. This is a relatively inexact effort because this is a new virus. Really, we don't know very much about this virus. What we know is that if people wear masks, They keep socially distant. They keep out of mass gatherings or gathering in small places indoors. We can avoid more infections.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that. You know, we follow the science, we follow the evidence. That's something we've heard a lot from your administration. I find that convincing. I think a lot of public radio listeners probably find that convincing. But there are some significant number of people out there who don't find that message particularly convincing. You know, there's a widespread distrust of experts and public officials in our society. Some of it stoked from Washington, certainly, and the president. But what are you doing specifically to try and break through to those people, to reach them in a way that makes sense to them?
So I've asked for, you know, this has become something of a partisan issue, I think you know, and it's a result, in my view, of the failed leadership at the top. In the president. And so I've asked Republican leaders in our state to step up. I'm talking about elected officials across the state to step up and remind people that they need to wear their masks, that they need to keep socially distanced, and that the science has led us to those conclusions, that gatherings in, you know, of large numbers of people, gatherings indoors are somewhat dangerous during this moment, especially as infections are rising. And some of them have, offered, just pleasantries in response and haven't done much about it. And others have publicly on their Facebook pages or in other places, posted something. But the reality is they seem not to want to stand up and remind people that the science tells us that this is what we need to do until we get a vaccine.
There was a big advertising campaign earlier this year, All in Illinois. But more recently, I think those of us who watch YouTube videos, you know, I think you personally have invested more than, $56 million in the campaign to support the graduated income tax. I think probably $55 million of that has been on YouTube videos that get served to me alone. I have seen so many ads for the graduated income tax. I mean, why not apply some of that, you know, financial and messaging muscle and brain trust to reach people about the virus, again, in a way that makes sense to them?
So we have, as you know, we've run a significant mask campaign on TV, online, on social media. You can find it really all over the place, reminding people that they need to wear masks and keep socially distant. Also, we're reminding people they need to get their flu shots. That's extraordinarily important, especially in this season. We're doing the best we can to get the messaging out there. I stand up at the podium every single day and remind people that they need to wear masks. Dr. Ezeke, who runs our public health department, does the same. We have doctors every other day, at least from various institutions, who do the same. So we're trying very hard to get the message out. Many people just don't want to hear the message. They've heard it before. They just don't want to do it. Maybe people in their neighborhood aren't doing it. But unfortunately, more and more people are getting infected. And I think that what we're seeing is that, you know, what used to be viewed by people in some downstate communities as a Chicago problem, now is clearly a majority of the deaths, a majority of the people who are getting sick are actually in communities outside of Cook County and the Collar Counties.
Listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey, and my guest until about 11:30 is Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker. I want to invite you to join our conversation. The number is 800-222-9455. If you have a question for the governor, now is your chance. The number again is 800-222-9455. And Governor, we do have we did ask our listeners four questions ahead of the show. This is Jim asking about mitigation rules.
Good morning. This is Jim from Champaign, Illinois. I would like to know about Governor Pritzker's plans to coordinate his efforts to manage the COVID-19 epidemic with those businesses whose very survival is also at stake. Are they meeting to discuss this from every angle, and how does one participate?
So, Governor, I think you, I'm sure, have heard from a lot of state representatives, particularly on the Republican side, but even on the Democratic side, who say that the approach is too top-down. The Illinois High School Association yesterday, when there were some new rules announced about, a change in status of basketball, was upgraded into a high-risk category, and thus the season is postponed, that people say it's too top-down. The Illinois High School Association says it was surprised by the decision, although it did have a meeting with your administration previously. What can you talk about what the listener was asking about and this sort of idea out there among some that this is not a collaborative enough process, perhaps?
Well, I want to be clear that I listen to legislators, to representatives, to mayors all the time. I talk to them very frequently. I would bet that every day I've spoken to several each day. And it's to take their input. Some agree with what we're doing. Some disagree with what we're doing. And many have offered ideas. And we've incorporated those ideas. Think about early on, there were people who wanted us to open up some of the state parks that we had to close in the first stay-at-home order, and we worked very hard to make sure that we could get our Department of Natural Resources employees working again safely so that we could open state parks earlier, and we did that. There were people who wanted us to open golf courses where, you know, there's a danger of people using clubs together, you know, handling things, not wiping down, sitting in carts together, et cetera. We worked very hard on putting rules in that would make it safe for people to do those sorts of things. Again, those were Republican legislators that asked us to do that. You saw that even though nationally many houses of worship had closed because people didn't want to spread it, that there were people asking me, you know, could we reopen them under some set of rules? And indeed, we did that. So we've listened all along, and we've made alterations in our plans, and we continue to do that. But the most important thing that we're trying to do in these processes is keep people safe and healthy by following the science and the health experts. And we're going to continue to do that while also taking into account how do we make sure that aspects of our economy that are being so, you know, hit so hard by this virus can get restored. We have a Restore Illinois Commission, I want to remind you, Brian, that exists, that the legislature has put together. And we've had many members of my administration have appeared before that Restore Illinois Commission to answer questions, to take ideas from people on that commission. That's a bipartisan group. And so we're constantly taking into account lots of different perspectives.
Okay. I'm glad you mentioned that idea of businesses struggling. John in Champaign is on the line. I understand you're a business owner. Thanks for calling in. What is your question?
Yeah, my question is, I'm wondering when and if the restrictions will lift, if it will only be when there's a vaccine, because right now we are unable to make rent and none of the owners are getting paid with the business. We're running very thin. Even at max capacity with the half, we currently can only operate with half capacity. When we fill out our bookings with half capacity, none of the owners are getting paid, and we can only make rent because we had our rent basically cut in half.
Now, John, are you willing to say what sort of business you're in?
Yeah, we run an escape room in Champaign. It's called Brainstorm Escapes.
Okay, an escape room. All right, John, thank you so much for the question. Governor, I wonder if you want to respond to John, a business owner. He says he can't even make rent with the restrictions in place.
Well, this virus has caused a lot of damage. There's no doubt about it. And as you know, the recommendations from the experts have been to limit capacity in certain circumstances, certainly in small rooms or small locations. You need to have fewer people in them rather than more. And that has an effect on business. There's no doubt about it. And that's why it's been so important that the federal government step in and help small businesses. And I've pleaded with the Republican Senate. The House seems to get it, the Democratic House, but the Republican Senate seems not to want to do that. And so we need more help for our businesses, no doubt about it. But I want to remind you that we have a $220 million business interruption grant program that's intended from the state to help people to survive this difficult time until we've got effective treatments or vaccines, until perhaps the weather gets better and we can do more things outside. And so I want to encourage people to go to our Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity website. That's at dceo.illinois.gov. And right on the front page is a link to business interruption grants. And we've expedited those grants for businesses that have been recently affected by the resurgence mitigations.
So I want to ask about those mitigations. And we only have about a minute left before we do need to take a break. But I guess I could ask about Chicago Mayor Lightfoot, who is seemingly pushing back against some of the mitigations. But I'm sure you will be asked about that in your news conference in Chicago. We're not on the air in Chicago, so I'm going to move on from that right now. But, you know, I sort of look at it this. I have talked to county health directors, epidemiologists, virologists, infectious disease physicians, and none of them say that they would be comfortable eating indoors at a restaurant. Why is that still being allowed in general?
Well, remember, we significantly have restricted the, you know, indoor dining, indoor bars. But look, we're trying to everything in this COVID world is a measurement of risk to everything. Literally leaving your home is, you know, there's some risk involved, but everybody, you know, is doing it. It's fine. I mean, as long as you're doing things that are safe, wearing your mask, keeping socially distanced and so on. But, you know, bars and restaurants are particularly difficult locations, no doubt about it. So what we've tried to do is encourage bars and restaurants to, again, limit, not just encourage, we put rules in to limit capacity and encourage outdoor dining or tenting with a heater, perhaps, safely.
So I'm sorry to interrupt you, Governor. We do need to take a break. We are going to continue this conversation on COVID-19 and the graduated income tax after a moment. You're listening to The 21st. Stay with us. Welcome back to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey, and we are talking this morning with Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker. We're in a few moments, we're going to begin talking about the graduated income tax. Listeners, if you want to call in, the number is 800-222-9455. But I do want to close the circle on COVID-19. Before the break, we were talking about restaurants and limitations there. And I was pointing out that a lot of health officials I've talked to say they are not comfortable eating indoors. I guess, you know, one of the big questions right now as we're heading into the colder winter months is this idea out there of COVID fatigue. I've heard Dr. Ngozi Ezike, the state public health director, talking about this. I think you've talked about this, where people, even people who are on the side of public safety, who accept the science, feel like their lives are being dictated by this virus, by this pandemic. And, you know, they're looking at those Thanksgiving gatherings on the calendar, and they're looking at, holidays, Hanukkah, Christmas coming up. What is your message to those people feeling COVID fatigue as we enter these colder winter months where the risks are only going to increase?
Well, there's no doubt. I think everybody is feeling the challenges that this has brought on, many from a health perspective, many from a financial perspective. I think of this moment, though, in our history as akin to what people had to live through during the 1930s, during the 1940s with the war. Some of the greatest challenges that we've had in our country, this is one of them. And those generations and the greatest generation had to do much more get themselves through those difficult times than we're being asked to do now. Unfortunately, this virus doesn't seem to go away on its own, and it's not going to, according to the experts. What may happen soon, I hope, is that the development of a vaccine will make it possible for people to avoid getting sick, and treatments too will help. So people are going to have to steel themselves for several more months as the researchers continue to work on those medicines that are going to keep us all safe.
Okay, let's move on in the time we have remaining to the graduated income tax proposal. We had a whole segment on this a few weeks ago, if listeners want to go back and find that. But the short version, if people haven't been following along, this is a proposed amendment to the Illinois Constitution. It would allow for the imposition of a graduated or progressive income tax where people who make more money pay a higher share of their income in taxes under the law passed, if this is approved by voters, basically anyone above $250,000 in individual income level would see a sort of graduated increase in their taxes. People below that level, which backers like Governor Pritzker say is 97% of Illinoisans, would see either their taxes remain pretty much the same or see a decrease as you get further down the income ladder. It needs 60% to pass, but at least or at least half the people who vote on that particular question. This is something, Governor, that you campaigned on, but we have a lot of comments from people like Amy in Ottawa who texted us. Why should Illinois voters support a graduated income tax proposal in the midst of economic uncertainty, basically in the midst of the pandemic? Governor, I wonder, do you think the proposal is in trouble?
No. In fact, I think that people across Illinois understand what we're trying to accomplish here. And let me just try to address, you know, what I think this the fair tax is really about so people understand. First, when I came into office, what I found was there is a structural budget deficit in our state of several billion dollars, at least between $2 and $3 billion. And over years, Republicans and Democrats have glossed over this and made it look like we had balanced budgets. The reality is we have to address that for our long-term fiscal sustainability. So that's number one. And we can all decide how to do that, but let's just point out that is an enormous problem. Number two, we have a very unfair tax system that puts the bulk of the burden on the middle class and on those striving to get to the middle class. And the millionaires and billionaires pay much less than the middle class does, because when you add up the local and state taxes that are paid, middle class and those in the bottom 20% of taxpayers are paying about double what the wealthiest people in the state are paying. So when you put all that together, we need tax fairness. And then finally, that we need to alleviate the burden on people in the middle class and those who are striving to get there, in fact, to give them a tax cut. And so that's what we can accomplish with the fair tax, all three of those things at the same time. The truth is that the wealthiest people in the state are putting up more than $50 million to defeat a proposal that would only affect them, the top 3%. Indeed, the people writing the checks seem to be in the top 0.05% of Illinois. It's time for a change. We've got to change the system that was put in place by them 50 years ago in our Constitution.
Sure.
And the middle class has been having to live with that for 50 years. We've got to ask the wealthiest in the state to step up and do their part.
You know, we got a question from Paige in Byron about small businesses. We got a related question from Jan in Savoy, who wondered about how the tax will affect family farms. And I want to go to the phones. We have Max on the line in Urbana. Max, I understand, line three, you're a member of the Illinois Farm Bureau?
Yes.
Thanks for calling in. What's your question?
I've been amazed that the Farm Bureau has campaigned so hard against the graduated tax, when if you look at the U of I information on farmer income, most farmers will pay higher tax without the graduated tax. And also, without the graduated tax, more burden will fall on property taxes and sales taxes, which will affect farmers more than the income tax will. So what is the Farm Bureau's policy process whereby they've come up on the side of the flat tax?
Sure. And Governor, I understand we're at 11:30, and I know you have to go on to other things today. If you have just 15 seconds to answer Max's question, if you'd like
Absolutely.
To do so.
Let me do it together with your question about small businesses, too. First of all, 95% of small businesses will get a tax cut. And the vast majority of farmers, indeed all family farmers, will get a tax cut. But unfortunately, as you know, the wealthiest people in all of these categories they don't want to pay more. And we've got to change the system. They have an awful lot of power. They're clearly giving messages on TV and on radio that are false, trying to scare people. The reality is the fair tax does one very simple thing. It cuts taxes for 97% of people in Illinois and simply asks the wealthiest to pay a little bit more so that we can balance our budget.
All right. Governor J.B. Pritzker, thank you for your time today. We got a lot of questions and calls we weren't able to get to. I hope we can have you back on the show soon.
Of course. Thanks, Brian.
All right. More to come after this short break. Listeners, I do want to point out that we are planning to bring you a segment tomorrow on another segment on the graduated income tax that does talk to some of the people who are opposing that. So stay tuned if you want more information. And again, I would refer you back to a sort of FAQ we did on that particular subject with a couple of nonpartisan experts a few weeks ago. You can find it on our website, 21stshow.org.